Chapter 6. Do these seem like they need more sugar to you? Lexi held one of the orange and vanilla meringue cookies out to Cassie. Lexi had been a bit concerned the day before with Ruth, Ida, and Helen's unusual silence about the cookies. The three ladies usually raved about Lexi's baking, so she figured that was their way of politely telling her they didn't like the taste. Nance had said they needed more sugar, which Lexi found hard to believe since she'd upped the amount for that recipe, but she took the advice and had come to the bakery early to bake another batch with a teaspoon more sugar. That batch was now cooling in the oven, but she wanted Cassie's opinion on the recipe from the day before, just to be sure she was doing the right thing. Cassie bit into the cookie. She scrunched up her face comically, then swished the bite around in her mouth. She swallowed, then nodded. Yep, just a tad, though. Thanks. Maybe today's batch is sweeter. Lexi glanced over at the oven. She'd turned it off an hour ago and resisted the urge to peek in. The secret to perfect meringues was letting them cool slowly, and opening the oven would let in a rush of cold air. So she willed herself to be patient until the timer went off. The smell of almonds drifted over from the counter, where Cassie was drizzling icing on a batch of almond scones. Lexi's mouth watered as she sidled over to the tray, reaching her hand out for one of the freshly drizzled pieces. I think I need to taste test this, Lexi said. I rushed in here early to bake these meringues for my visit to the builder of Jack's house, and I'm starving. Cassie raised a pierced brow as Lexi took a bite. You found the builder? Yep. Ruth found him on the internet. Lexi broke off a corner of the scone while she finished chewing the piece she had in her mouth. Did you hear anything more about the case from John? Davies won't tell Jack a thing. And last night, Jack said he hadn't had a chance to catch up with anyone else in the department about it. No. He said Davies was doing all kinds of tests to figure out who the mummy was, when he died, and what killed him. Do you think they can pinpoint any of those things? Cassie shrugged. Who knows? Jack must be anxious, though. He's trying to act like he's not, but I think he is. Lexi's heart twisted as she remembered their goodbye kiss earlier that morning. Jack had asked her to check in with him right after they talked to the builder, and she could tell he was nervous. But I think he'll be cleared soon, since he's helping us on the case. That must be a rare treat for Nance and the ladies. Usually it's them helping him. Ding! The timer announced that the meringues were ready, and Lexi shoved the rest of the scone in her mouth, her taste buds delighting in the sweet icing and cake-like scone. She crunched one of the slivered almonds that had been sprinkled on top as she slowly opened the oven door. She held her breath and peered inside, relieved to see rows of perfectly puffed meringue cookies, their tops peeking in a swirl. Perfect. She slid the tray out of the oven and grabbed a white bakery box, then carefully placed the cookies in the box. Lexi untied her apron and pulled it over her head, smoothing her white sleeveless blouse and checking her tan capris for spots of flour. Satisfied with her appearance, she grabbed the box and headed toward the door. I'm off to meet the ladies and visit Mr. O'Keefe, she called to Cassie. Okay, I'll hold down the fort, Cassie said. Good luck. 15 minutes later, Lexi pulled up in front of the retirement center, where the ladies were waiting anxiously at the door. They descended on her VW Beetle like a swarm of ants to a picnic, and somehow Ruth, Ida, and Helen managed to fold themselves into the tiny back seat, while Nan slid into the passenger seat. Lexi always marveled at the dexterity the ladies displayed when getting into her car. They claimed it was all due to practicing yoga. Helen poked her head in between the two front seats.
Thanks for picking us up, Lexi.
You're welcome. O'Keefe's house is only about a half mile up the hill, but we don't want to walk in our good shoes,
Ida added. Plus, Ida's bunion is acting up, Ruth said, and they all chuckled except Ida, who elbowed Ruth in the ribs. I'm glad you decided to join us today, Lexi said to Nance as she drove across the parking lot to the road that led to the retirement center's single-family homes. Well, I guess if you guys are going to investigate, I'll tag along. Nance half-turned so that she could address everyone. I'm just not sure this case warrants our time. And anyway, it seems cut and dried that it's the builder. But if the police can't pinpoint the time of death, then how can they prove it? I'm not sure about that, Lexi said. Cassie told me that Davies was running some tests to figure out when he died. Nan swiveled her head toward Lexi. Did she say how accurate they can be? No. If it's within days, then that can help. But if it's within years, I don't see how that would be of much use. Here's the house, right here. Ruth shoved her hand in between the front seats, her index finger pointing at a large Tudor-style house on the right. Lexi pulled into the driveway, eyeing the carpet of green grass and perfectly manicured shrubs that were ringed by purple, red, and white flowers. It sure did look like Mr. O'Keefe had money, just like Ida had said. The question was, did he get that money from building homes or from something else? I don't think we'll find out much here. Nan stepped out of the car and folded the front seat over for Ida, Ruth, and Helen. Why not? Helen asked. If he's the killer, I'm sure he'll slip up somehow. That's right, Ruth started up the walkway. Besides, we have a sixth sense for these things. If he's guilty, we'll know. They reached the polished oak door, and everyone looked toward Nance to take the lead as she usually did. Nance, however, didn't seem to want to take the lead and got busy studying her nails, so Ida pushed her way to the front of the group and punched the doorbell. You guys let me do the talking. Just follow my lead. The doorbell chimed, and after a few seconds, the door opened to reveal a pleasant-looking, white-haired gentleman who raised bushy white brows at them. His lips curled in a welcoming smile.
Well, what can I do for you, ladies?
Ida glanced back at them, and Lexi knew what she was thinking. He was acting awfully nice for a cold-blooded killer.
We're neighbors from the retirement center, Ida said. We've come on a welcoming visit.
His brows knit together in confusion.
Really? I've been living here for quite some time.
Oh, we know. It takes us a while to get to everyone.
Ida grabbed the bakery box from Lexi and held it up.
We brought cookies from the Cup and Cake downtown. Lexi here is the owner.
Oh, well, if there are cookies, then please come in.
He pushed the door wide, and they all filed into an oak-floored foyer.
I'm Ida, and this is Ruth, Helen, Lexi, and Mona.
Ida held her hand out.
Tom O'Keefe.
Tom favored each of them with a firm handshake, then turned down the hall.
Come on into the kitchen.
Lexi peeked into the rooms as they followed him down the hall. The furnishings were expensive, but tasteful. Not opulent. The rooms were clean. The large kitchen at the back of the house boasted a panoramic view from the top of the hill, along with stainless steel appliances, granite counters, and an impressive fieldstone fireplace. Tom set the box down on the oversized kitchen island and bent down to rummage in the cabinet.
How long have you ladies lived here?
His muffled voice came from inside the cabinet.
I don't believe I've met any of you.
Ruth's been here for about 10 years now. I've been here for 7, and Helen and Mona have only lived here for a few years,
Ida said.
Lexi is Mona's granddaughter, but she doesn't live here, of course.
Tom surfaced from the cabinet and put a round platter on the island.
I see she's got a few years before she's of age,
he said, winking at Lexi as he took the cookies from the box and put them on the platter.
Those are made from a new recipe Lexi is fixing to enter in the Brook Ridge Dessert Contest, Ruth said.
You don't say. Well, I feel honored to be trying them.
Tom gestured toward the long pine table, and the ladies sat while Tom pulled some smaller plates out of one of the upper cabinets.
Would you like some tea?
He asked. Well, that would be lovely, wouldn't it, girls? Ida raised her brows at Lexi and the ladies, and they all murmured their agreement while Tom filled a kettle with water and got busy passing out dainty teacups and saucers. So, we heard you were a builder here in town, Ida ventured, once they were all settled with steaming cups of tea and cookies on their plates. Tom paused, the cookie halfway to his lips.
Yes, I built many of the houses here in town, but that was years ago. I'm retired now.
That must have been quite lucrative, Ruth chimed in, looking pointedly around the well-equipped kitchen. Tom narrowed amused eyes at Ruth.
Why, yes, it was.
Ida fixed him with a hawk-like stare. Not all builders make out this good. Most of the ones I know are flat broke.
Well, I invested my money wisely.
Tom aimed a dazzling smile at Ida.
I'm not sure why the interest. Are you ladies trying to fix me up with someone?
That could be a possibility, Ida said. Really, we're just interested in our neighbors, right, girls? The others nodded, and Lexi noticed Nance had been paying more attention to the crumbs on her plate than the conversation. What was up with her? Lexi wondered if Nance really did have a boyfriend. She was certainly acting distracted enough. Lexi's eyes strayed past Nance to the pine mantel on the fieldstone fireplace, where a row of trophies was displayed.
Those are my dart contest trophies, Tom said proudly. I haven't played in years, but I used to be quite good.
It looks like you won a lot, Lexi agreed.
Ah, yes. I was the dart champion 10 years in a row, down at the Elms pub.
Tom gestured toward the trophies.
I would have been champion 10 more years, too, if it wasn't for her.
Helen's brows shot up. Her? Tom's mouth twisted in a grimace.
I know I shouldn't hold a grudge. It's silly, really, and that was so long ago. But that woman took competition to a whole new level.
Ida sucked in a loud breath.
I think I know exactly who you are talking about.
Tom turned to look at Ida, and they both said it at the same time.
Violet Switzer.
You know her?
Tom asked. Ida nodded.
I used to be the pea-shooting champ until she came to town.
Tom laughed.
Well, I guess I feel a little better that I'm not the only one she targeted.
Oh, she was nasty, Ida said. Did she stalk you and try to intimidate you?
Yes.
Tom's face flushed.
I'm embarrassed to admit it, but her tactics worked.
Lexi felt seeds of doubt sprout in her stomach. This Violet person sounded downright nasty, and now Lexi was going up against her. She glanced at the plates on the table. No one had even finished one cookie. Maybe entering the dessert contest wasn't such a good idea after all.
So, if you hung out at the Elms pub, you probably built a lot of houses over in the Elms section of town, Ruth said, pulling Lexi from her thoughts.
Oh, yeah, I built most of those homes,
Tom said proudly.
Then you must have built Mona's.
Ida nodded her head toward Nan's, who looked up from swishing her tea bag around in her cup.
Yes, of course.
Tom studied Nan's.
I thought you looked familiar.
Oh, I'm surprised you would remember after all these years, Nan said.
I never forget a pretty face,
Nance blushed. Lexi, Ruth, Ida, and Helen stared at her. It wasn't like her just to blush and not say anything.
Ida broke the silence. You built the house behind her, too. You must have seen it on the news.
Tom looked at her curiously.
No, I don't watch the news. It's too depressing. What happened?
A secret room was discovered in their basement with a mummy in it.
Tom's brows slanted into a bushy V.
Mummy? Like those things wrapped in gauze and buried with treasure?
Ida nodded.
Yeah, except this one wasn't wrapped or buried with treasure. Someone had been murdered and placed inside the secret room, Ruth explained. The body mummified due to the dry conditions and lack of air in the sealed room.
Tom looked shocked, and Lexi had to wonder if the look was about a mummy being in the basement or about the fact that the mummy had been discovered and now an investigation could lead police to the killer.
I never heard of that.
Yep, it happens.
Ida took a sip of tea, then said matter-of-factly,
So, since you built the house, you must have built that secret room.
Tom's head jerked back as if he'd been slapped.
What? I didn't put any secret room in any of my houses.
But you must have. How else would it get there?
I assume the homeowner would have put it there. I have no idea what people do after I sell them.
He rubbed his chin.
Just how did they discover this room, anyway?
My dog dug away the cement, Lexi said.
Your dog? What was your dog doing there?
It's actually my husband's house now. We were cleaning out the basement to put it up for sale when my dog started barking and going crazy. I guess she must have sensed what was in there. Tom narrowed his eyes.
So you demolished the wall because your dog barked?
Oh, no. She was digging at the cement and she dug out a hole. We looked in and discovered the mummy.
Dug it out?
Tom shook his head.
That doesn't make any sense. I made the foundations out of cinder block back then. Your dog couldn't dig a hole in that.
No, of course not. This basement had a false wall that was wood-framed construction, and she dug through some sort of cement-like coating that was on top of that. Tommy's brows shot up.
Oh, right. Now I remember. A lot of people did that back then when they wanted to finish off the basement. They didn't like the look of the cinder blocks, so they skimmed over it with a plaster-like compound that looked more appealing and helped waterproof and strengthen the walls.
Ida turned to Lexi.
So the wall matched the others because they all had the coating?
Yes.
Well, that explains it. They probably just framed off the small section and plastered over it to make this secret room. But who would do that?
Ida asked.
I don't know, but I do know one thing.
Ruth pointed her half-eaten cookie at them.
Whoever did it must have known they were going to put the body in there. Why else would they make a narrow room like that?
And that means it was premeditated murder,
Helen added.
The only people that would have had access at that point would have been the homeowners,
Ida pointed out. I remember the McDonald's telling me they were going to have the basement refinished. Lexi still couldn't believe that nice old couple would have been involved. Maybe it was the guy who was going to refinish it.
I seem to recall there was a guy who specialized in doing those restorations.
Tom pressed his lips together and looked up while he searched his memory.
Was it Donnie? No. Bobby?
Yes.
His name was Bobby Nussbaum.
Ida glanced sharply at Nance.
Mona, do you remember anything about these basement renovations? You must have known about them. Did you have yours redone?
No, I didn't have mine done.
Nan scrunched up her face.
I do seem to recall Lois and Charlie McDonald talking about it, but I don't know much. I think that person died, though, so it's probably no use trying to track him down.
Ida stared at Nan's, then gave Lexi a funny look. It sure wasn't like Nan's not to try to track down every clue, and she'd seemed preoccupied the whole time. Worry started to nag at Lexi again. What if something was wrong with Nan's? She shook off the worry. Nan's was probably just having an off day, or, like Ruth had suggested, she might have a new boyfriend that was occupying all her thoughts. Tom started collecting the teacups, saving Lexi from having to think unwanted thoughts about her grandmother having a boyfriend, and they all stood to say their goodbyes. As Tom walked them to the door, Lexi glanced at the expensive decor. Ida had made a good point earlier. She knew lots of builders, and very few of them ended up with this kind of money. She made a mental note to check into Tom O'Keefe's background and finances. Sure, he seemed sincere enough, but she learned that killers could seem that way when they were trying to cover their tracks. One thing was for sure. Somebody had made that room in the basement, and only a couple of people would have had access. One of them was Tom, and the other was the man Tom had eagerly, maybe too eagerly, given them the name of Bobby Nussbaum.